ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from Valmiki's Ramayana, corroborating with the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra as given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, chapter number 10, with Sukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj about Ramcharitra. The text number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We will look into this in a concise way. I will read only translation and then we'll proceed further. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramchandra immediately gave up the position of a king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his own lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, the king of monkeys, or by another monkey, Sugriva, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue and wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Suparnakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Sri Ramchandra give us all protection. In the arena of sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramchandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramchandra, who killed these demons in presence of Lakshman, be kind enough to give us protection. This is also called Ram Raksha Strotra in Srimad Bhagavatam. O King Parikshit, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant in the midst of the heroes of this world. He broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramchandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hands of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with the transcendental qualities of the form, beauty, behavior, age and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home, after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramchandra met Parshuram. Although Parshuram was very proud, having rid of the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya in royal order. You know, Parshuram was Satyavish avatar of the Supreme Personality of God in Lord Shri Krishna. And Ramchandra is of other category of avatar of Lord Shri Krishna. We saw yesterday is called Anshur Kala. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamin Tishtha. Now, these two lords of the same personality, they are conflicting with each other. on a different pretext. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord can expand. One, Eko Bahushyam is the principle. One who is expanding to many. That is the nature of the Absolute Truth. There's one without second. There cannot be two Absolute Truths. People misconceive Lord Ramchandra as well as Lord Krishna, both are Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without second. But his expansions are also called Supreme Personality of God. Not only that, the word Bhagavan is denoted to even some great man. Even the guru of the demons is called Bhagavan by Narada Muni when it is required. You know, Shukracharya was the guru of the demons. Brahaspati is the guru of demigods. Now this Shukracharya knew that his Lord Vishnu, who has come in disguise of a Brahmin boy, Vamanavatar, the dwarf incarnation, and the Lord begged only 3 paces of land. Bali Maharaj said, "You are welcome, Brahman boy. What do you want? I can give you more than 3 steps." And the boy said, "No, 3 steps are enough. Just take the vow that you will give me and you do not go back on your words." So, when Bali Maharaj was taking oblations in his hand, the water in the hand, to take a vow and put up the sankalpa or the determination, which will be taken as granted as factual, that upon the proper conduct in keeping in mind the Supreme Person, this vow is taken. Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself in the Vaman Avatar, which is also partial incarnation, He is present. Bali Maharaj doesn't know yet. But Shukracharya, because he was Guru, he is supposed to know who God is. He is coming in this form, he must know. So he told Bali, "Bali, don't be cheated. This is Vishnu in the form. He will take everything that you have achieved from the demigods, everything away. He has come to help them." Bali said, "Even Supreme Personality of Godhead can come to my door and beg, I will not refuse. Because he is the proprietor of everything. What is this guru telling me?" He rejected his guru. Shukracharya was so not only insulted, he cursed Bali. But he is, so what is his security? If Bali is going to give away everything, he will be ruined too. So what good is curse to Bali Mara, who is disobeying his order? To disobey the order of spiritual master is an offense. But Shukracharya is what kind of guru? That he does not consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, in the form of Vamandev, to be the proprietor of everything. And he has every right. He was obstructing Bali Maharaj's path of devotional service. So therefore, Bali Maharaj rejected that guru. So he was so materialistic, Shukracharya, that with his prowess, mystic power, he became small and went into the nozzle of that water pot through which the oblation was to be given, a vow was to be taken. And Vamandev knew that cunning guru of the demon is doing this. So he picked up a straw and popped in the nozzle and burst open the eye of Shukracharya, so he got blinded. Means insulted by the Lord. Double insult. He is insulted by his disciple and he is insulted by the Lord himself. So you can see the rejection of the Guru. That is possible. If one prevents the disciple to go back home, back to Godhead, he is not a bona fide Guru. A materialistic Guru, Guru of the demon, is also envious of the Supreme Lord. But nonetheless, he is required. He is required. So later on, when Bali Maharaj was robbed of all of his opulences, in within the 3 paces, he had to surrender his head for the 3rd step. You know the story. Within 1 step, the whole material universe was taken. In the 2nd step, it went beyond and penetrated the margin that separates between spiritual and material world. From the toenail of Lord Vamandev, there oozed the celestial Ganges. And it flowed to Swargaloka first, you know, and then came to the earth, this planetary system. So descent of Ganges was right from that point. But where to put the 3rd one? So Vamandev asked, Bali Maharaj, where should I put the 3rd step? Bali Maharaj was confused. But his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, was a pure devotee. He was standing by. And he signaled him, it's time to give full surrender. So, Bali Maharaj requested, my dear Lord, please put on my head. If Lord Krishna puts his foot on the head, you go back home, back to Godhead. That is called mercy of the Lord. So Bali Maharaj was so fortunate to have the lotus feet of the Lord on his head. It's the most fortunate situation of a devotee. But Krishna pushed him to further down and Rasatal and agreed to become his doorkeeper because of his surrender. This is very inconceivable. But that is the nature of the Lord's pastimes. So, Lord Ramchandra is playing simultaneously as the partial incarnation of Lord Shri Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as well as Parshuram is also playing one kind of incarnation called Shaktyavesh Avatar. There is a difference between the two. One is a Jiva, another is a Vishnu Tattva. Parshuram is Jiva Tattva. He is empowered incarnation. And Lord Ramchandra is partial incarnation. These incarnations of the expanded form of Lord Krishna are called Swamshas. Swa means his own, Aushas. But Jivas, we are Jivas too. By the grace of Krishna, Prabhupada was empowered to accomplish so much within 11 years of his existence after establishing Krishna consciousness movement. You will be amazed what he achieved. He translated more than 95 titles and printed. Bhagavad Gita itself has been printed at that time in 45 languages and distributed so widely. Millions of copies throughout the world. Not only that, he initiated about 10,000 devotees and empowered them to open up centers, 108 centers within 11 years. You know, that is the rate of speedy spreading. Not only that, he personally took care of his disciples by communicating properly. At that time, there were no computers, internets, only telephone that were rudimentary. You know, in India, when you call, "Hello, hello, how are you?" then he will talk, but then at last he will say, "Oh, this is wrong number." That kind of telephone system was there during that time. And he circumambulated globe 14 times in order to supervise. He introduced festivals like Rath Yatra throughout the world, and nowhere in the world such religious festivities are ever taking in other denominations like Christianity also. Such big, big parades on the most popular streets of the biggest cities, Fifth Avenue in New York, you know, like that. So, not only that, he taught the most ancient art of cleanliness. He told devotees not to use tissues in the toilets, but lota. And from that, and the beautiful culinary art of cooking, pure vegetarian, he introduced prasad distribution at large. You know, millions are fed every day throughout the world. So, these kind of accomplishments are not ordinary for an old man who came in New York at the age of 70 and departed at the age of 82. So, Krishna Shakti Vinana Hi Tara Pravartan, without the infusing of energy of Lord Krishna, even spreading the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, 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 it's not possible. So, Parshuram was Shaktyavish avatar, and Lord Ramchandra was Amshakala of Swamsha avatar, his own. So, in this way, we see that the Lord can expand in many, many different categories also. Not only one category, in different categories. The jiva are his expansions. We are also coming out as his expansion. But we have made a separate desire out of envy, so we were thrown into a perpetual existence of ignorance. That is why the material world has been created in the mode of ignorance, you know, predominantly. And Lord Shiva is in charge of that particular mode. And we end up, you know, fulfilling our material desires only through that mode of ignorance. But by becoming Krishna consciousness, ignorance will be removed and we can go back home, back to God. Where, because we are expanded from Him. Therefore, our original home is Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. So in this way, Krishna is expanding in many ways. So Parshuram is challenging Ramchandra. Isn't it funny? The Lord's energy is challenging his partial manifestation. But it is for his sweet pleasure. Parshuram is defeated by the personality of Godhead, you know. So, we can see carrying out the order of his father, he was bound by promise to his wife. Lord Ramchandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. While, okay, Prabhupada says that Maharaj Dasharatha had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly. Therefore, he wanted to give her benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask the benediction when it is necessary. At that time, the coronation of Prince Ramchandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son Bharat and send Ramchandra to forest. Maharaj Dasharatha, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramchandra to go to forest according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation. Just as a liberated soul or a great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramchandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends headed by Khara, Trishara and Dushana. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramchandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramchandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramchandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of King of Videha. Just as a tiger sees his unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramchandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. There's a beautiful purpose that we try to understand. In this work, the words Stri Sanginam Gatim Iti indicates that the condition of a person attached to women was shown by Lord Himself. According to the moral injunction, Grihe Nari Vivarjayet, when one goes on a tour, one should not bring his wife along. Formerly, men used to travel without conveyances, but still, as far as possible, when one leaves home, one should not take his wife with him, especially if one is in such condition as Lord Ramchandra when banished by the order of his father. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his personal example. Of course, this is material side of Stri Sangi, but the situation of Lord Ramchandra is spiritual. Now try to understand this. Material instruction, material attachment to women is for the men who are obsessed with the bodily conception. But by giving this example, Lord Ramchandra is teaching us What it is, Lord Ramchandra does not belong to material world. He does not belong to material world. Narayana paravyaktat. Narayana is beyond the material creation. Because he is the creator of this material world, he is not subject to the conditions of the material world. He created the material world. Why should he be subjected to the conditions? Means the lamentation like an ordinary man who loses his wife. He has no reason to lament because he is beyond the three modes of material nature. Lord Ramchandra is not subjected. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the creator of both spiritual and material worlds. Spiritual world is ever existing, which is three times more than the material world. And this material world is created at certain time, maintained for some time, and again dissolved when the time is over. Spiritual world is not a subject of creation. So those who are residents of spiritual world, are they subject for creation? They are not subjected to creation. The spirit soul is also coming from the spiritual world. He is not subjected to creation. It's not the spiritual soul is created. It is the material body which is created, sustained for some time and annihilated in due course of time. So how can one subject Lord Ramchandra when he acts like a human being, but he is not subjected to the laws of human being? You follow the point? Is it difficult? This is very important to understand the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God, which are divine. What makes divinity? Is there anything divine in the material world other than the holy name of the Lord? Nothing is divine. Therefore, the progressive civilization depends upon cultivating the divine culture. Devatas are progressive, therefore they have divinity. But they don't have equal divinity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they are representative, representative carry some authority of divine nature. So, here comes the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his partial incarnation, and men of poor fund of knowledge, they think that he is one of them. Avajananti mamamudha manushim tanumasritam param bhavam ajananta mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human-like form. They think I am one of them. And because they do not know the divine nature, param bhavam, they are fools. They do not know me, that I am the supreme controller of everything. When the three modes of material nature control us jivas, even though coming from the divine nature, we lose our divinity. We become materialistic. Therefore, if we remain in the association of the divine, we regain our divinity. Because these pastimes are not material in nature, they are divine. Therefore, they are pleasing to the heart. Therefore, they can purify us. Therefore, we can go back home, back to Godhead. So Narayan is beyond the material creation. Because he is the creator of the material world, he is not subject to the conditions of the material world. The separation of Lord Ramchandra from Sita is spiritually understood as vipralambha, which is an activity of the Ladini potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead belonging to Shringar Ras, means conjugal love affairs, the mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. Lord Krishna also showed this separation. But it was so intense that gopis could not forget him for a moment. When one does not forget, he is rightly situated within the core of one's heart, cannot escape a bit. So under the pretense of Ravan taking Sita Devi, Lord Ramchandra is lamenting like an ordinary man losing his wife. But the Shastra is understood by the Acharyas, who tell us that this is the enactment of the internal potency called Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti's form is Radharani. And she is conducting all the affairs to increase the intensity of love, and ever expanding love. There are different moods, bhavas, under which one can express intensity, different intensity of love. This state is called vipralamba. Vipralamba rasam bodhe padam bujayate nama. This is Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was in the mood of vipralamba state. This bhava is apparently, we see, is a separation, but this separation is so intense, it can't stay without a moment, without getting the favor of his beloved. Or he will take such an endurance way to regain her. Otherwise, he will dry up so fast, impossible to exist. These are to be learned very systematically from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu for Rupa Goswami. So, the Acharya says that in the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all dealings of love, displaying the symptoms called Satviki, Sancharika, Vilap, Mruchha, and Unmada. Sometimes we imitate these bhavas in our bodily conception also. But because they live shortly, it gives only a flickering sense of the reality. The reality is eternal. Here we get some temporary little glimpse. So how can we compare that Lord Ramchandra was very much attached to a worldly woman? No. But he is playing for us to understand other way around. Don't be attached too much, because we respect the female body. If we are too much attached, we will not be able to respect the female bodies. In the same way, women who are too much attached to men, they forget to respect the purpose of that body too. So, thus when Lord Ramchandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. Lord is neither impersonal nor important. Rather, He is Satchidananda Vigra, the eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Thus, He has all the symptoms of spiritual bliss. Feeling separation from one's beloved is also an item of spiritual bliss. As explained by Swarup Damodar Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shakti, the dealings of love between Radha and Krishna are displayed as the pleasure potency of the Lord. The Lord is the original source of all pleasure. That's why He is called Ram, the reservoir of all pleasure. Lord Ramchandra therefore manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. Materially, those who are attached to women suffer. But spiritually, when there are feelings of separation between the Lord and His pleasure potency, the spiritual bliss of the Lord increases. This is further explained in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 11th verse. Avajananti mama mura manushim tanumasritam param bhavam ajananta mama bhuta maheshwaram. One who does not know the spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead thinks of the Lord as an ordinary human being. But the Lord's mind, intelligence and senses can never be affected by material conditions. This fact is further explained in Skanda Purana as quoted by Madhvacharya. Nityapurna sukha jnana swarupo asau yato vibhu ato asya rama iti akhya tasya dukham kuto navapi tathapi loka sikshartham adukho dukha vartitvat antarhitam loka drashtya sitam asit smranam eva jnana parartham punah nitya sambandha satam matah sriya Ayodhya vinirgachan sarvalokasya cheshvaraha pratyaksham tu sriyan sradham jagamanadir avyayah nakshatra masa ganitam trayodasha sahastraham brahmaloka saman chakre samastam kshiti mandalam ramo ramo rama iti sarvesham abhavattada Sarvo Rama Mayo Loko Yada Ramastu Aplavat. It was actually impossible for Ravan to take away Sita. The form of Sita taken by Ravan was an illusory presentation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. When Sita was tested in the fire, this Maya Sita was burnt and real Sita came out of the fire. As further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection. Look at what happened to Indira Gandhi. Her own guards killed her. She was probably at that time one of the most powerful women on the earth, but she was unprotected. For as soon as she is unprotected, she will be exploited by rakshasas like Ravana. Here the word Vaideha Raja Duhitri indicates that before Mother Sita was married to Lord Ramchandra, she was protected by her father, Vaideha Raja, that is Janak Maharaj. And when she was married, she was protected by her husband. Therefore, the conclusion is that a woman should always be protected. According to the Vedic rule, there is no scope for a woman being independent. Asamaksham, for a woman cannot protect herself independently. A strong message.
in this Aranyakanda, is understood. Then tomorrow we'll look into the Yuddha Kanda. So there are nice stories coming in between in the Aranyakanda that we see a pure devotee like Dasharatha Maharaj, who was also playing the part of his father. He showed the symptoms of unbearable separation from Lord Ramchandra when he was exiled by his order. He was compelled to give order to Lord Ramchandra. And he did not leave. Between the devotee and the Lord, these exchanges are also there. So, the Lord, who is all energetic, when he exhibits these symptoms of separation, means with ecstatic love, is there. The love becomes more valuable when one is separated. The value of love is counted only in separation, not in union. So therefore, Maharaj Dasharatha was also very much aggrieved in the separation. One who was even mortified by hearing that they are going away. What to speak of when one actually faces that separation? The intensity of love overpowers everything, that one does not want to live in that body for a moment. Not only Dasharatha Maharaj showed this symptom, many others also showed. Even Kaikeyi later regretted when her husband died. But Kaikeyi, her mind only at the time for the coronation got twisted by wicked Mandhara. It is explained in Valmiki Ramayana, this Mandhara was an apsara sent by demigods. This apsara was so expert in talking, can twist the mind of a good-hearted Kaikeyi. A person of good discrimination can also be bewildered by such speech, that incite hate speech, racial slur, hate speech. It can flare up into violence, communal violence. people are simply disqualified by such tenure of speech. They'll be casted out. So the idea is that the demigods were given a task to twist the mind of Kaikeyi. And they sent Apsara, a hunchback woman, who was expert in this kind of speech, to incite the fury. And only Manthara's function was to play a particular role at particular time. When the Lord descends, all His associates also descend with pre-planned acts and that goes according to the desire of the Lord. We simply have to become instrument in fulfilling that desire. Yudhishthira Maharaj was very well versed in this knowledge of surrendering to the desire of the Lord. Arjuna was not. Therefore, he was taught Bhagavad Gita, not Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira was so much deserving his name, Yudhishthira. In the matter of confusion or in the matter of conflict, you know, inner conflict or outer conflict. Conflict is conflict. He is steadfast. In what? In the workings of the Supreme Personality of God. He said, whatever comes, I act or I accept as the mercy of the Lord by accepting that situation. Sthane sthita sruti gatam tanu vangmanovi. We can easily accept this principle and aid in our life that let's situate it in whichever ashram, varna, functionality we are in, but be conversant with the verdict of Shruti, the Shastras, with our mind, words and activities. Steadfast. So, in this way, Manthara acted. But Yudhishthira also acted. In Krishna Leela also we see that there are some characters, you know, just to increase the intensity of an act, the sensationalism, what we call in our material sense, the intensity of suspense and drama, intensity of love, intensity of the one of the six opulences, like shaurya, bala, power. Everything is intensified to see the climax of it. And that is said that is an act of internal potency, ladini. So in Krishna Leela, Radha and Krishna's love is also being envied or a character like Manthara, but she is not working as Manthara, rather she is working as the well-wisher that everybody respects in Braja. It's called Purnamasi. Purnamasi never allows Radha and Krishna to get married. However, everybody is trying to get them married. By hook or crook, something happens and apparently there is no marriage. Even after she was married off with Abhimanyu, Jatila's son, to increase the intensity of love, there are so many arrangements and leelas are being performed. They are very, very intense, and we cannot understand through our blunt senses in the effect of three modes of material nature. Rather, we have to spiritualize, cleanse ourselves nicely, so we can understand this, what is the spiritual nature. It is not subjected to the laws of material world. So, in this way, Ramchandra is also exhibiting, and mantra-like character comes. You know, but they are all descended to play a particular role in increasing the love aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the embodiment or reservoir of love. That's why he is called Rama. Ramayatiti Rama. And he does not have to depend upon external arrangements to intensify his love. No. He has to he is independent. Swarat. Atmarama. Self-satisfied. He is independent. He doesn't need anybody else. These are all his expansions and they are working according to his desire. So, it is too difficult to understand those who are separated part and parcel like us, and that too covered in the material modes, that we depend upon each other for anything and everything, including love. But the Lord is not. So never consider they are human pastimes. No, the Lord is not interested to play a human pastime. But he may act like human just to convey the reality of the spiritual value. Reality of spiritual value. We should value our love in connection to Krishna only. Even love is expressed in five major rasas, you know, still we should understand that they are simply reflections of original. Why reflection? Because we are dependent upon each other. We are dependent upon circumstances, material nature. We are dependent upon the time, the kala. We are dependent upon, you know, what else? Modes of material nature. Even though two people are in love with each other, but they can't marry because one has mangal or some constellation difficulty and others. No. See the impediments? Material impediments. But in exhibition of Lord's love for his beloved can never be impeded. Do you think Ravan is capable to abduct Sita? If Sita sees her once, he could be burnt to ashes. That is the power of Sati. That is the power of the divine energy. So, Ramchandra is exiled Bharat returns to Ayodhya to meet his mother, and he started rebooking Kaikeyi like anything. Because that kind of rasa to chastise the wrongdoer for the sake of love of the Lord is that of Bharat's attitude. Bharat goes to Kaushalya and convinces her of his innocence and prays that she puts faith in him that he is obedient servant of Lord Ramchandra. After the cremation of Maharaj Dashrath body, Shatrughna vents his rage upon Mantara. Bharat decides to go and meet Lord Ramchandra. Constructing the highway to Ganges. The highway was constructed. Bharat also meets Guha, and so many, incidents happen. Bharadwaj Rishi's ashram, where Bharat was received with his magical reception. Ram Lakshman, they see Bharat approaching, and Bharat meets. Ram learns of his father's death, Bharat implores Ram to return to Ayodhya, but he wants to play his pastimes for other purposes that he invented himself for. Bharat is accepting the wooden sandals of Lord Ramchandra and then returns. Then Ram, Sita and Lakshman, they leave for Chitrakut, where they meet Atri and Anushaya Rishi. Then upon their direction, they are heading towards Nasik and going to the Dandaka forest. This Aranyakhand is pretty important in order to understand that we are limited people. We should remain within the limits. We can't imitate the unlimited. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is unlimited. But we are supposed to learn our limits. Lakshman wanted to go to help Lord Ramchandra because he thought he heard Lord Ram's voice to help him while killing that deer, golden deer. It was Marich, and he shot the arrow. Marich was killed, but then he spoke in the voice of Ramchandra. Oh Lakshman, oh Sita, help me, help me. So Lakshman is Ananta Shesh,
the eternal associate of the Lord, eternal companion of the Lord. He knows everything, but yet want to show the exemplification of his subordination and service attitude to his brother, but at the same time the paradox is that he was ordered to protect Sita. So in order to protect Sita, Lakshman draws up a circle around the cottage that she should not step outside. This Lakshman Rekha has a great significance. The significance is that instructions are important for our spiritual protection. They are important for our spiritual protection. To disobey the orders of spiritual master or disregard the instructions of the spiritual master cannot protect our devotional service. So one has to ardently chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in order to realize this aspect. You know, the spirituality is so pure like Sita. Must be protected. But by disobedience of the spiritual master's instruction, the spirituality will be abducted by demoniac nature. So, it also says both physical and spiritual protection is needed. So proper conduct and behavior under protected guardians or his instruction must be there, and we should be faithful to those instructions. So both physical and spiritual protection will be given. Then Ravan dresses as a mendicant and appears in the Sita's doorway, and he kidnaps Sita. You know how he does, tricky. In material world, any powerful desire wants to subdue somebody else's desire to fulfill his own desire. A powerful desire subdues weaker desires. It's called exploitation of the weaker. The whole material world is working on the basis of jivo jivasya jivanam. Ahastani, sahastani, apadani, chastaspadani cha. That the those who have no hands, they become the victim of those who have hands. Those who have no legs become the victim of those who have legs. In this way, one life subsists on another. One life subsists on another life. The body is made up of food, but at the same time, food in the form of grains, they are the one that makes the body. It's nothing but transformation of the food. Food is food. Just like now they are making some nice preparation from basic ingredients. They may look different when they are coming in the form of preparations, but after all, food is food. So what is being consumed is food, and what is the product coming out is also another kind of food. This body is the food for worms.
you know, if we are buried, right? It becomes the food for the worms. So like that. So in the material world, the weaker becomes prey to the stronger. And in this way, it is dependent upon each other from everything. So the exploit is for the exploiter, not other way around. Cheater and cheated, exploiter and exploited. This world is made up of that. And in this world, where the dual thing is existing, exploiter and exploited, cheater and cheated, where would you draw a line for justification? How would you justify this material world, which is made up of opposites? And when you find, oh, this was wrong and this was right, will it make any sense to put up a judgment? Or there cannot be any real judgment? What do you think?
Cannot be real judgment.
There won't be. Or there will be. Do you have hope for there will be ever any judgment? There won't be judgment. Because the material world is made up of opposites. So two things are there. They are going to counteract each other. You may be only on one side. Can you be on both the sides? It is also impossible to remain on both the sides. You have to take, you will be forced to take side. But there is the third way. If you become indifferent to both, then if you become indifferent to both, then it's possible to come out from this material world. That is the technique. A spiritually minded person, he neither hates nor laments or glorifies anybody. You know? The Rakshasas and Devatas, they are always in constant war. There is no peace there, even in Swargaloka. Material world is like that for them too. When they have so many duties, so much complicated duties to perform, do you think that there will be any peace there? No. Lot of politics. Just like this Devata sent Manthara. It was a political ploy. Is it not? So she can twist the mind of Kaikeyi, even though she was a very kind and pure hearted and beloved of Dasharatha Maharaj. So in the world of opposites, material world, there is no proper justification. And even though if it is justified, it is going to be temporary, so there is no meaningful justification. So you have to take side of anyone, either one. You will be forced to take side. But if you become indifferent to both, then you don't take side of anybody. Neither you consider that to be any important. Then you will be saved. Saved from the cause of duality. You are stopping the cause of duality right there by becoming indifferent. So, a liberated person always thinks on the terms of indifference. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samatsarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate para. He sees everything in connection with Krishna, therefore he never favors one nor despises the other. He becomes indifferent. Now, you both are correct in both your situations. But I have nothing to do with your right or wrong. You are part and parcel of the Supreme, you are connected. I am trying to see the Supreme Lord dwelling and how He is fulfilling your desires. Even though one may be nasty, another may be, honest. I am not concerned with honesty or nastiness. I am concerned with the glorification of the Supreme who is sitting in both of your hearts and conducting all these activities according to your desires. We try to understand your Lord Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the final judge, they say. But he is also working so much indifferently. I said punishment, yes, there is a system. If you have done sins or pious activity, you are asked, what do you want, Prabhu? You want to enjoy the results of your impious activity or pious activity? Neither there is any time that one is impious all the time. Is it not? So, he will ask you, what do you want? Do you want to enjoy the results of your impious activity or pious activity? And here is the account. One may ask, yes, I want to enjoy first the pious and then we'll see. It happened in the life of Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhana. After killing Duryodhana, Duryodhana died on the battlefield, right? So he was given Swargaloka. Immediately. Right? That he chose. And Yudhishthira Maharaj lied little bit about Aswatthama. Because Krishna incited, you better lie. Otherwise you are in danger. Tell Dronacharya, Aswatthama died. But when he asked who, he says, Narova, Kunjarova. I do not know whether it is the elephant or the man. But this will be enough to dishearten him and then you shoot him. And really, Dronacharya was killed. The guru was killed by Krishna's, trick. So, for that lie, Yudhishthira chose to go to the hell. Alright? But he was so indifferent while Duryodhana, look at their mentality. When Yudhishthira Maharaj was coming from the south side where Yama's gate is there, Duryodhana was in Swargaloka. He laughed at him. Oh, look at that. All of his life he never lied. And he got the result of going to hell first. So Yudhishthira said, yes, bye, bhaiya. Now they are waiting for you. They are waiting for you. So a devotee, na shochati, na kankshati, he never laments nor hankers for something. Samat sarveshu bhuteshu, he sees the Lord in everyone's heart as equal. Mat bhaktim labhate para. Then he is qualified to become a pure devotee. So, this is the third way which is very important and Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. how to become indifferent. You know, we are all bound by certain limitations in our activities. So for protection of our physical existence, we must obey. But at the same time, by remaining indifferent, we can protect our spiritual existence. That is very important for progress in devotional service. Right? So in this way, Ravan kidnaps Sita. You know, Jatayu is trying to rescue Sita. Ravan brings Sita to Lanka. Ravan fails to seduce Sita. There's a story of Ravan was cursed, you know. In Uttarakhand, this incident comes. Ravan is cursed by Rambha. Rambha was a celestial apsara. Now, okay. Ravan sent Suparnakha to live under the protection of her cousin Kara in the Dandakaranya forest. After that, Ravan sent out to conquer the demigods. He reached Kailas as the sun was setting, and so he set up the camp there. As he sat at leisure on the top of the hill, Ravan surveyed the beautiful forest and lakes and that served as the sporting grounds of the demigods. He could hear the singing of the apsaras coming from Kuvira's palace, and the heavenly atmosphere was exceedingly pleasing, being enchanted by gentle fragrant breezes. At that time, Apsara Rambha appeared to pass by. When Ravan saw her beautiful body features, which were enhanced by her attractive dress, twinkling ornaments, he became so eager to enjoy her that he jumped up from his seat and grabbed her by the hand. And Ravan was audaciously, you know, asking her to succumb to his desires. Rambha angrily replied, "You should not speak to me like this, for you are just like my father and I am your daughter-in-law." Huh? Ravan argued, "Only the wife of one son can be considered as a daughter-in-law." Rambha said, "Yes, this is correct. But you should know that I am the lawful wife of your brother's son, Nalakuvera. And I am on my way to meet him right now. Therefore, King of Rakshas, please follow the path of righteousness and let me go." But Ravan, he said, "Your argument only applies to women with one husband. Since the Apsaras have no actual husbands, I do not have to consider you in the light of such morality." And he rapes her. You know? And Rambha ran to her husband and told what happened. Nalakuvera became outraged to hear about Ravan's misconduct. But to verify Rambha's story, he went into the trance of meditation. After ascending the truth, Nalakuvera touched the water and pronounced the following curse: "Ravan's head will split into 7 parts if he ever again tries to forcibly enjoy a woman against her will." This curse could have, he could have cursed to kill Ravan instantly. That was the power of Nalakuvera. But instead, he spoke something that if he ever tries again, his head will split in 7 pieces. So, these are tricky arrangements, you know. So, the demigods were overjoyed to hear this declaration. And they greeted Nal Kuvera's decision because it was in their plan. So in this way, he was unable to touch Sita, unable to force her. He knew the curse will be effective unless a woman comes voluntarily to succumb his desire. So that is actually what is meant, that our senses are so impetuous, we should not succumb. If we come into the trap of the senses themselves, they are like six wives. Not one wife, six wives. If you want to go to the forest, don't give up one wife at home and take six wives with you, which are with, including mine, and five senses. There are six wives. One must have control over them. So in this way, we can understand the importance of the characterization and the events that unfold or allows us to enter into the intricate nature of Lord Rama's divine potential, divinity. You know? Even if it may be a small incident, just like Lord Ramchandra is a good king, only this, no, every event has so much deep meaning that Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be ordinary man, cannot live like, but he may act past time in order to give us very, very valid instructions. Very well instructions. So, religious matters, they are filled with spirituality, and if spiritual truths are not explored or exposed in its right way, you know, then simply it will become an entertainment of the ears only. So anybody has any question or comment?
So what do you do when this occurs in the last statement that you made, when it starts to become entertainment? What's the...
entertainment is another name of sense gratification.
What chanting the holy name, will this be suffice to change your...
No. Mm-hmm. If you think you are enjoying even a religious discourse, actually it is not meant for enjoyment. It is meant to liberate our pitiful condition, to come out from the cycle of birth and death and find freedom to the eternity, find relationship that enriches our love. Enjoyment is, or entertainment is, like an escapism to the real reciprocation of the love. What do you reciprocate in enjoyment? you are the only recipient. You are the recipient, but you can't reciprocate. However you may try, you know, even two can combine, but sense gratification is only one-way track, you know, while love is a two-way track. And it is so narrow that no third party can come. So we need to understand the value of love of Godhead. That is our natural occupation, natural service. Without that, you know, how are we going to even exist eternally? Can you exist only in eternal eternity without knowledge and love or ananda? No. There is no meaning. It is dry situation. Can you exist in eternity with only knowledge? What good it is? The ultimate product is love that sustains us, fulfills all our desires. Knowledge does not fulfill our desires. Eternity does not fulfill our desire. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be eternal. You know? And that is not going to be fulfilled. Even though he is eternal, he wanted to be eternal. What does it mean? He wanted to be eternal in his sense gratification with the bodily conception of life. Brahma said, even I am not eternal. I have to give up this body in due course of time. So in this way, the fulfillment of our innermost desire of desires is love of Godhead. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute it freely. Krishna prema pradayate. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna Himself, who came to distribute His own love freely. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most municipal incarnation. Magnanimous to distribute love freely. This is spiritual love. If we add Lord Krishna's love in our life, then all of our desires for love and be loved or get loved will be also fulfilled. So we have to put Lord Krishna's love in the center. Without Him, love has no meaning. This entertainment is coming out of lust, not the love. Any other question?
would think it would be very difficult to be indifferent to lots of things.
It's an art to learn. It's an art to learn.
What about being indifferent to love?
Just for example, when somebody dies in our family, right? We lament. Right? But how long can we lament? Material nature forces us to get along with our own life and forget him. That pressure is on us to exist, you know, by hook or crook. Forget him, but you leave. So, indifference means before even that incident happened and you would regret, remain indifferent by your intelligence. Use it that this is inevitable. I have to face, you know, either the nature of rejoicement or this, because we are doing work, karma, and karma is going to take the toll. And day and night, the time takes the lives away. Why do we have to wait till the incident happens and then even after some time lamenting, we are forced to give up lamentation? Why not to become indifferent from the very beginning? Isn't it? In many, many facets of our life, we are bombarded with this kind of so-called rejoicement and temper. So in the same way, when the miseries are coming uninvited, we should also have the faith happiness is also going to come invited. So remain indifferent. Don't become one-sided and put all your effort like a horse or a donkey just to eradicate unnecessary miseries that are going to come anyway uninvited. To reduce them, you work for happiness. It doesn't make sense. Both are going to come uninvited. We should have faith. And we should not over-endure.
But wouldn't that be a bit uncaring and, you know, with a heart of stone to become indifferent?
No, that is different. You know, callousness, you know, neglect is not indifference. Even in neglect, you take side because of your dislike. Hate and negative, you know, thinking. So when you are one-sided, how can you become indifferent? Therefore, don't be one-sided. You know. And neither agree with both the sides. It's not ignoring both, but both will get their appropriate results due to the law of karma. Don't take anybody's side. Just take Krishna's side in every circumstances. For his pleasure, you know, do not rejoice for somebody or lament for other, neither for yourself. That is indifference. You just say positive yes to Krishna all the time. Yes, my Lord, yes. You want me to do this? Okay. I am sold out servant. Is it not situation of surrender. How can we surrender to Lord Krishna on His terms when we think of something other in partiality, or when we take side of this and that? That is not surrender. When we surrender to Krishna, we don't judge anything. Yudhishthir was surrendered all the time to Krishna. You know, he would not rejoice or lament. Even the treacherous game of dice, the invitation came, he could not reject. He could do so because he did not know how to play. But at the same time, as a kshatriya who is challenged either in dice game or in the war, it is considered to be the same. But he took Krishna's side. That Krishna, without your will, nothing happens. Not a leaf moves without your will. So this treacherous game has come to harass us, so let us be harassed. Do you know, by taking this invitation, both Arjuna and Bhima became enraged. They came to quarrel. He said, "Brother, you are not thinking even that again we have to go through so much grueling experience. No. At least you have to see us that we are troubled by your decision." And Yudhishthir was calm and he said, "Yes, but you forget one thing. We have been all born with divine nature and we are supposed to be instrument in carrying out the function on behalf of Lord Krishna. Why do you forget that? Aren't you an instrument in the hand of Krishna when you surrender? So where is the lamentation or rejoicing on the material affairs?" So indifference is a devotee always rests upon Lord Krishna that He will protect me. He will protect me. Me means the soul. He will protect me. He will nourish me. Right? Because He does. It's not that, "Oh, I don't want to give Him trouble. I will do it myself." "Oh, Krishna, you leave aside. I know I love you, but you know, I don't want to trouble you." Come on. He has supplied you before you were born everything. And now you don't want His trouble. Now He's a kind father. He will do regardless whether you understand differently than Krishna. People do not understand what it requires to surrender. So the nature of indifference is very important for progressive devotees who are on the path taking shelter of Lord Shri Krishna. Anything else?
Prabhupada Maharaj was not indifferent to the suffering condition of the conditioned soul. He was very much affected by the condition of the jiva in this
right.
Continuous circle.
Right, right.
So are we to understand that he was taking part, he was not indifferent?
No. See, this is what happened. When Prabhupada said, not a single person should go hungry within the 10-mile radius of the temple. And that's how Food for Life program started. But it doesn't mean that they should not be benefited of the spiritual connection. Right? At the same time, he was not interested in doing the welfare activities, just like that. You know, many, earthquake victims are there, tsunami. Devotees go there, but they chant Hare Krishna. They are not lamenting on their physical, but they give comfort to them, think and try to make them understand that the bodily suffering comes only from karma. But Krishna is so kind that when you remember in the time of your need, you know, Krishna is the real provider. We are only the instrument in the hand of Krishna. So, the teachings are for the soul to get them knowledgeable. So, we do not do simply flat out welfare activity without any tinge of Krishna consciousness in it. We will always see that Krishna consciousness predominates in such activity. Otherwise, devotees are supposed to be in living in indifferent way. Means, what happened in tsunami? So many devotees went to South India and Sri Lanka. The philanthropic organizations like Salvation Army, Christian missionary activity, so many people went and they become predominant, you know, carrier. Devotees in a small group were doing prasad distribution as well as Harinam Kirtan just to relieve them. By chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it settles the mind. Bhava Ushadi Shrotra Manobhi Rahamat. This is the age of Kali and the medicine that is going to eradicate the sinful nature of Kali is through the holy name. So, devotees were overpowered by such philanthropic activity that they didn't have a place to offer their services. The big organization, we do not need your help. Thank you very much. You know, there are big philanthropic organizations. They they adopted villages after villages even. I don't know how much has been settled up, but whatever they have done is a temporary effect. But in Sri Lanka, devotees were able to get one orphanage and they are raising these children in Krishna consciousness. Right? It's not to not to do the activities, but with Krishna consciousness as the center. Otherwise, remain indifferent when you are not given the opportunity. In India, devotees were not given the opportunity to serve you, even though they went with all equipment. They said, no, we have enough. No. Because they had other calculations. You know, they could help in Gujarat earthquake, you know, but they were unable to do much more in
South India, tsunami struck. So the idea is that indifference does not create callousness, but rather we remain sympathetic and sensitive to it, but not sentimental to it. You got it? Sentimentalism has no place in indifferent behavior. Only sensitivity is required. So when the opportunity is given, you can do it. But remain indifferent.
So that means indifferent to the body. Not
to the soul. Yeah, natural. Because the soul is the main target. Body is going to come and go anyway. If it is temporary patchwork, you know, we give prasadam. Or at the maximum, we may also give the medical help, but not without Krishna consciousness. When devotees go in devotee dress and devotee behavior, it's going to remind them of Krishna that these guys are different from the others. They'll be more happy and secure when they receive Krishna and His mercy, both in the form of service, prasad, medical care, whatever it is. But devotees have to remain always indifferent in material circumstances, material reasonings. We don't have to go out of our way and demand justice. Oh, how come we are not allotted this place and that place? No. That's good enough.
Right? That's the Prabhupada key.